focus, discipline. This is the Zero Excuses Podcast. Each and every week, we talk to high-performing, inspirational athletes, entrepreneurs, and leaders. We ask powerful questions to extract their tools, strategies, and life lessons for you to crush your excuses, to break out of your comfort zone, and accomplish your ambitious dreams and goals. Here's your host, Kenyon Zitzka.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in. We've got an awesome guest lined up for you guys. We have John Hinkle. He is the author of Shift, Moving from Where You Are to the Life You Want. And he also breaks down what these five principles that he calls Shift are. And he also talks about how he got started on this journey after he basically was forced out of his corporate job and into the entrepreneurial world. But before we get into the conversation with John, as always, just got a couple quick reminders for you guys. First, if you haven't already done so, would appreciate it if you went over to iTunes and left us a rating and review. And also, if you haven't subscribed to the show, don't know what you're waiting for, but would appreciate it if you subscribed and also shared this show with any friends, family members, coworkers, what have you, who would get some benefit out of listening to the tools, the strategies, and everything we talk about with the guests. Would appreciate it if you shared it with them. And also, if you want to apply these principles that we talk about, these tools, these strategies, and you also want some accountability and want to be a part of a community that is striving to achieve their goals and dreams, would encourage you to apply to be a part of our discipline coaching program. We are taking people on our wait list at the moment, but you can apply and still schedule a one-on-one, one-hour consult with me at kenyandziska.com/discipline. It's a short application, and like I said, you'll have the opportunity to schedule a one-hour consult directly with me. All right, guys, enough on all that. Let's get into the conversation with John. John, thanks for taking time out of your schedule this evening to chat with us here on the Zero Excuses Podcast. Excited to have you on, man.
Hey, it's great, Kenyon. I'm excited to be on with you. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, and I know we're chatting a little bit here pre-show, and a lot of what you talk about really resonates with me, and I'm really excited to dig into some of the tools and strategies and what you have to offer. But you know, one of the things I always love to do is dive into the backgrounds of my guests, and I know you've had your fair share of experiences over the years. So why don't you give us a quick introduction for yourself and tell us a little bit about you and your background, how you kind of arrived at what you do today.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I am a creature of the corporate world. I spent about 25 years of my life in a corporate setting. And what brought me here today was the incidents that happened to me about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was that I was in a corporate company, had risen to a fair level within that company, probably a senior level. I was a vice president of the company. And several things happened during that time that kind of led me to where I am now. One is that during that time, I was with a company that merged with another company. Mm-hmm. And at the same time that merger, the industry that I was in was undergoing significant changes and a lot of upheaval with regards to that. And the third part of that was there was a recession going on. So right. All those three things that kind of came together at one time and really made my corporate career sort of the ground sort of collapse from under me. Mm-hmm. And it was during that time that I realized I had, some might say it's an aha moment, but I would probably say it was more like a duh moment, because I realized that I had been spending my entire career working to build my employer's business and help my employers, you know, realize their goals and objectives. And I really had not taken the time to build my own goals and objectives for myself. Mm-hmm. And it was at that moment that I realized that all the security that I thought I had and that I had built over 30 years was really just an illusion, that there really was no security. And it was almost like, I say it was like being on the edge of a pit, and you don't know you're at the edge of a pit and somebody comes behind you and just sort of nudges you. That's sort of what it felt like to me. And so, you know, I found myself in a pit, not knowing exactly how to get out. The problem was that, you know, you get in a pit and you kind of get comfortable in that pit sometimes. Yeah. And, you see what the, you know, you see the light at the top of the pit, but you can't figure out how to get there. And pretty soon you start trying just to make that pit comfortable for yourself. And I found that found myself in that situation. I think that there are a lot of people like that in that situation as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt, but you mentioned you didn't have goals of your own. Did you, was it simply the fact that you had goals, but you kind of put them way back on the back burner due to the setting you were in the corporate world, or did you just simply not have any?
No, I think you're exactly right. So the way it works, and again, I think this is how it works for everybody. We all start out in the early part of our careers, coming out of college or wherever, but we all have these big dreams and plans for our lives. And then, you know, life happens. You get married and you have kids, and then kids need braces, and then kids need college. And then, you know, pretty soon all those distractions, and I wouldn't call them distractions, they're all good things. Having kids and, you know, being married and all that are good things, but they so much of your energy, or at least for me, took up so much of my energy, and, you know, that I just put it all to the back burner, I think is what it was. And I remember sitting in Ohio one winter, and I had three sons, and they were all had left the house. One was living in New York City, one was living in Houston, one was living in Los Angeles, and there was 4 feet of snow on the ground, and my wife and I looked at each other and said, why are we still here? Because we're not from there. We were from Texas. And so I think that was sort of a pivotal moment. You know, all those things came together. The kids had left the house. I really had time to really be thinking about me and what I had wanted, and, you know, those dreams that I had had earlier on that I just kind of put to the side. And talking with a lot of my friends and people who are sort of in my circle, a lot of them are exactly the same way. You know, they had dreams, but they have lots of obligations. And it comes to a point where you really have to, you know, you have no more excuses, right? You just have to take what your life is and moving forward, and you have to take control. And, you know, I'm the guy, and lots of people are those same men and women who put those sort of dreams and those things aside. And now we have no excuse. We have to make it to the end, and we want to finish strong.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds a lot like the mentality that I have. And I've shared this, you know, several times on the podcast before, but, you know, we get caught up in the, you know, checking the boxes that society tells us we should be checking, like going to college, getting a good job, you know, getting the mortgage and getting the school loans that come along with the college degrees and whatnot. And we kind of get sucked into the cycle that, you know, kind of dashes our dreams a bit. But we allowed ourselves to do that. We kind of got stuck in this, like you said, this kind of construct of how we should live our lives. And, you know, it sounds like you've been able to figure out, at least for yourself, and you're helping other people do the same thing, on how to kind of start to rise up from that.
Exactly right. So that experience led me to really explore for myself, if I was going to have a plan B, what was it going to look like, and how did I even start down that road? And what I did for myself, and what has worked for others that I share this with, is I developed 5 principles for myself. These were rules that I told myself I was going to follow, and that any time an opportunity or a challenge came into my life, I would take these 5 principles and I would sort of measure myself against them and use them as tools to help me assemble that life that I was trying to go toward.
Mm-hmm. And this is the shift principle that you speak about often?
That's right. It's called shift principles. And there are 5 principles, and they're principles, again, that I follow and that I teach people to follow. And I've written a book recently published called Shift, and it is technically called Shift, Moving from Where You Are to the Life You Want. And I wrote it with my co-author, Russell Lake. And it tells a story. It's a kind of a different kind of a business book, because this is a character-driven business book. There's a character who is facing the similar things that I just described for myself and for others. And throughout this book, he kind of finds a mentor, a person who teaches him these 5 principles that helps him change and transform his life and achieve the things that he had always wanted to achieve. So it's very much a book that people can read, and most people say, man, that sounds just exactly like me. Or they'll say, you know, I had a boss just like that, I remember. So it's a really kind of a good read in the sense that most people will see themselves in the character and see themselves in the situation he's in, and some great principles to help him and to help the readers pull through into something better.
Yeah. So actually, I want to back up just a little bit before we dig into that. I definitely want to dig into the book for sure, but I want to dig into kind of how your mindset kind of shifted over the years. And, you know, growing up, did you always have, you know, this dream of being an entrepreneur, or did you always have a mentality that, you know, you go to college, get a job, you know, with cushy benefits? You know, what did that look like? What was kind of your early upbringing like?
No, in fact, it's just the opposite of that. I grew up wanting to be my own person, wanting to do things sort of in my own terms. And that's just, you know, I just kind of fell into the other. Grew up in Fort Worth, mm-hmm. a very happy family. My dad is very much of a self-starter. He joined the Air Force when he was 16 years old and had a full career there. So, distinguished career there. My mother, who was, you know, traditional mother in a lot of ways, but untraditional in other ways, in the sense that she owned a real estate company and was a builder. So she was both my parents were very much self-starters and really taught me that, you know, if you're going to make your way in life, you kind of have to make your way, you know, you just have to do it. And, so that was a good rule to follow. But I also, you know, had that career thing, you know, hanging over my head as well. And I did that, and I'm not at all making excuses for that or saying that I wish that I hadn't. It is, absolutely the right thing for me to have done and afforded me all kinds of things for my family. And so it was great. But I was always that person who wanted to do something notable, wanted to do something great with my life, just couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah. So you needed that corporate job to kind of allow you to weed out what that possibility was. It wasn't that you kind of got steered in the wrong direction. It's just, you kind of went down that direction because it wasn't, it wasn't clear at that point in time. Am I understanding that right?
That's exactly right. So I was, you know, young and knew I wanted to do something great. Didn't have any direction for how to do that. Corporate world is sort of an easy way to get into life and into a career. And so that's the path I took. And again, I don't regret any of it. And I learned so much, gained so many skills from it that I use even today. But it wasn't where my heart was. It wasn't where I knew ultimately I wanted to be. And it took it took those events happening all at the same time to kind of shake my world, to realize that this wasn't going to be the thing that was going to sustain me. I could no longer let myself be subject to a company or somebody else's decisions about my life. I had to take control of it myself.
Gotcha. So once you started down this, entrepreneurial journey, you know, that you kind of found yourself thrust into, how did you start to formulate these five principles? What experiences did you have along the way that started to forge these for you?
Well, I will say that they didn't come like out of the blue. It wasn't like I decided one day to write them down and that was going to be it. I really talked to people. There's some of the things that in these shift principles that we'll talk about in a minute, you'll see applied to my exploration. So I think the first thing I did was I went out and talked to people that I knew in my life around me who were successful and really tried to learn from them what they felt like was the secret to their success. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing I did. And of course that led to a lot of people talking about how they found their purpose, you know, their why. And, had a lot of discussions around that. Secondly, I really did a lot of exploring, going back into my work history and looking at all of the things that, like projects that went well for me or, job titles, you know, that I really performed well in. And try to really examine those very carefully to see what it was about those things that I did well and that were rewarding for me. And I also went back and looked at the places where I failed, the places where I did not feel like I had accomplished what I wanted to, or I was told I wasn't accomplishing what I wanted to, or what people wanted me to. And I went back and really explored that. That's a hard thing to do, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But to kind of break that open and look at it really carefully – and understand exactly why that happened, or what my role was, or you know, what role others may have played in those challenges, those setbacks, was a very important part of my growth process. And then I think third, and yet I'm going through all these principles almost and just telling you this, but the third was I really looked at what the options were in front of me, kind of looked back to where I'd been, but I also looked forward to see what were those sort of options that lay in front of me, and made some decisions around that. And then, you know, I just, after I came up with that and determined those kinds of things, and then I just, you know, I got my courage up and manned up and I did it. So.
Yeah. One thing I want to key in on is how you started to humbly explore your failures and your shortcomings, because I really think that if we can come to terms with, you know, looking at failure and mistakes as just simply learning opportunities, I think, you know, that'll unlock a lot of our growth and our potential there. And a lot of people shy away from that and kind of put those things off into a dark corner and try and forget about them. So was that something that you've always had, or was this something that you had to develop over time? Something to embrace?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, and this is a little bit of a secret about me, is that I've always been a person who was self-critical. And, you know, I could always find everything that I did, I could find that I did something wrong in it. But what I think that I learned to do, and this is a productive thing to do, is instead of being self-critical, I learned how to go back and look at setbacks or failures and analyze them in a non-critical way, but just in sort of a factual way, to kind of remove myself from it so that I could look at it in a just an objective way. And I think, you know, you said humble, and it is humbling to go back and look at the things in your life where you failed, or you didn't live up to your own expectations or the expectations of others. But that is absolutely a necessary thing to do for growth. And you know, my saying is, my belief is, that you can't have success unless you've had some failures first. And so I decided that those failures or those setbacks or those challenges were going to be something that I looked at as opportunities for growth, not as failures. So I have developed a method for myself, and then I teach others to do, to help them do that.
Mm-hmm. So with some of the people that you've worked with in the past, I'm sure there's some people that you've run across that are the complete opposite of what you might find within yourself, or, you know, other people that you've worked with, you know, the people that they don't want to hear about their failures. How do you get them to start to open up to these things? What are some of the keys that you teach them when you start working with them?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you that what I help people to acknowledge, and what I acknowledge in myself, is that at this stage in my life, I'm carrying a lot of baggage. We all are, right? And some of that baggage is baggage of success. Some of it is baggage of failure or setbacks or challenges. And what is useful to do is to open up those bags and really sift through them and look through what are the things that are important that you want to carry forward. What are the things that you should absolutely look at, examine, and leave behind? And I think part of what happens, in both internally and externally, our mindset and in just our environment, we have a hard time leaving things behind that we should leave behind. Sometimes, you know, setbacks are setbacks that are occurred only in a certain, you know, very specific atmosphere or environment that may never repeat themselves. And you just need to acknowledge that and not let that be a negative baggage that you carry forward. And I think the other thing that I try to talk to people about, and I think this is very helpful, what it was for me, is that when I look at setbacks or failures or, you know, whatever you want to call it, those things that we'd like to ignore, if you break open those and you examine them, there are always little nuggets of success that are within those failures. It's not like a failure is a solid ball. It's really more of a, I don't know, something that if you can break open, you can see lots of little parts and pieces in it. If you sift through that in a very sort of objective way, you can pull out those things within that project or that job or that relationship with that boss or whatever it is. You can pull out little nuggets that were actually positive or learnings that you may have gained from that you want to hang on to. You don't want to get rid of those. What you want to get rid of are the sort of the feelings and the lack of confidence or those other kinds of things that hold you back.
Yeah. Like one of my big sayings that I often repeat to myself is like all things benefit me. And, you know, I had a conversation with a colleague today around just this. You may not realize, you know, it could be a very, very extremely bad situation on the surface, but you know, this is going to benefit you, one way or another down the road. You may not realize it at this moment in time, but if you can embrace everything as something that's going to move you forward, I think that simple mindset shift is very powerful. And yeah, you got to find those golden nuggets in each and every situation. And you know, there's a lot of people that walk around with a negative attitude, and you've mentioned mindset here. Like how much do you work with you know, folks with or on mindset?
You know, it all starts with mindset, really. Is it doesn't. And you know what, we have programs and resources and tools and things that we use. But the thing that is really makes a difference in the transformation of people's lives is them finally being able to get over their own mindset about themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's really usually not about anybody else. And, you know, they may have had a bad boss or whatever, and that may take a long time to get over, but it's not because of the boss. It was because really of themselves that they've got to get over and put things in their proper perspective and really give people grace. You know, I've had bosses in the past that I've spent years not having a great attitude about. And I really had to come to the realization that, you know, they were just like me. They're trying to figure it out as well. Mm-hmm. And they may have behaved badly, but I may have behaved badly as well. So you got to have that humility. I think that's a huge thing. And the mindset is absolutely the thing that has nothing can change in your life until your mindset changes. Nothing. There's a workshop that I do with clients called From Belief to Behavior, and every behavior that we have in our life is driven by a belief that we have. And so you've got to change that belief or reinforce a belief in order to get the behavior you want.
Yeah, it's beliefs lead to your emotions, emotions lead to your actions, and actions lead to your results. One of my mentors taught me that a long time ago, and I definitely think that's kind of what you're driving home here, right?
Absolutely.
So what are the, I know we kind of skimmed over these five, you know, the shift principles. What specifically are they? What does the shift, I don't know if acronym's the right term here, but what does shift stand for?
Well, shift, it is an acronym, so you're great on that. And before I go into them, let me just say that they're all interrelated. So when I would develop these, I developed them thinking that you couldn't just do one of these principles and you'd be okay. And one of these principles is going to be related to another principle, and they all have to be kind of thought through together in order to make sense. So SHIFT is an acronym, and it stands for these five things. The S stands for seek advice. Mm. And it's about finding your own inner circle, your own board of directors, people who are going to walk beside you and hold you up, lift you up, and help you be successful. And I think that is something that in my career I never did. I don't think I felt free enough to go to other people to ask them how to help me be successful. But I think that's absolutely a critical thing that people have to do in their lives. And I kind of think about it in this way, you know, throughout history, you know, we always hear about self-made men and self-made women. Well, that's absolutely not true. Nobody is self-made. It always takes people around you that are going to help you be better and help you achieve what you need to achieve. And then the examples of that I would use would be, you know, King Arthur had his court, right? Robin Hood had his merry men. Jesus had his disciples. The president has his cabinet. You know, Bill Gates has his board of directors. You know, everybody who you know of or heard of throughout history who is successful and who's a leader is a leader because they have great people surrounding them. And so shift number one, the S stands for seek advice. You should always get people around you. They're going to keep you accountable. They're going to lift you up, walk beside you, and help you succeed.
Yeah. So if someone's just kind of starting on their business journey very, very early on, where are some resources that folks can use to start seeking advice if they don't know where else to turn?
Well, I would say if your listeners are interested, then we have a mastermind group that you could be at. And I think if you belong to a mastermind group, that gives you a group of people who are like-minded, who are all seeking the same things. that can help you on that road, help you be accountable. Some people in your mastermind group would be maybe a little bit further down the road than you are. Some may be a little bit, you know, behind where you are. But together, if you're in a mastermind group, that's a great place to be. And there are lots of mastermind groups that you could join around the country or anywhere in the world, really. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest maybe getting a mastermind group would be a good place to start.
Okay. Awesome. So what's the H stand for here?
The H stands for honor your past. And this is the idea here, as we were talking about earlier, is the idea that we're all carrying baggage around, and we need to open up that baggage. We need to figure out what's in it. We need to understand what is successful about us and our past, our skills, and those things that we can move forward. And we also need to look at those things that have held us back and determine, you know, really examine those well, determine what needs to be left behind. And that's how we honor our past, really. You honor your past by really going back and exploring it and understanding it so that you're not a victim of it moving forward in the future. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's one of the things that, I term it a little bit different, but it's really you have to do a deep dive on what your beliefs are. And a lot of our beliefs go all the way back to a very innocent event that happened during our childhood. And, you know, I talked about this on the show before, but you really have to mine out those little things that really formed your core beliefs and habits, you know, as far back as childhood. And, you know, I really resonate with that H principle, honor your past, because, you know, if you can start to, reverse engineer how you formed some of your beliefs, I think that's, that can help you re-engineer the way you look at life.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really crazy, isn't it, that somebody will put a thought or an idea in our heads when we're really young and it stays there the rest of our lives.
Yeah, we don't even realize it.
No. Well, it comes up at the worst times, right? And the times when you're feeling vulnerable or the times when things aren't going well, those voices rise up inside you and you think, man, why is this still bothersome? Why is this still bothering me? You know, it's crazy, but it's true for all of us.
Yeah. The biggest one that just to throw out an example is like my grandparents always used to call me the quiet, shy kid. And that got ingrained in me until I like blew that up by starting this podcast. I really held me back for the longest time. I used to be shy about getting out in front of crowds and, cause I was this shy, quiet kid. But, that's just one specific example that, I wanted to share with everyone here.
Well, congrats for you for really recognizing that and getting over that and moving beyond it. Cause I mean, that's really a big deal. It really is.
Yeah. Anyways, so moving on to, I think the third one, right?
The I stands for investigate options. And this is the idea. If you're moving forward in life, there's more than one way to get where you're wanting to go, right? Mm-hmm. And I use this analogy because it's so common for us. If we were getting, I live in Dallas. If I wanted to go to Austin, Texas, it's about a 4-hour drive south on I-35. Well, I-35 has been under construction for probably 30 years. So it is one of those highways that you're bound to get stuck by traffic or by construction somewhere. But when I'm driving to Austin, I would never, and I got stuck by traffic, I would never in my mind say, okay, well, I'm stuck. I guess I'm going to turn around and go back to Fort Worth. I would never do that. And you wouldn't either, right? What you would do is you'd pull out your Wave or your Waze, I'm sorry, or your some other navigation system. And you'd figure out how to get off the freeway and take an alternate route. But in life and in business, we don't do that. We think about the straight path, the easy straight path we're going to take to get there. And when we get stuck, we stay stuck. Or a lot of people do. I do sometimes still. You get stuck and then you think, okay, well, I'm stuck. And you either don't move forward or you give up or you put it off to the side and you never realize your dreams or your goals that you're trying to achieve. And it's so crazy because there's, you know, if you'd stop and really think about, okay, well, if this path is not going to work, let me take plan B, let me take the path B. And we do that in everyday life, but something about us and getting stuck in our goals or in our purpose or our careers, we tend to stay stuck.
Yeah, that's one thing that that I've realized here recently as well is the fact that, you know, there's more than one way for us to earn an income or, you know, devote our time. You know, it's 2018. There's multiple ways for you to reach people, have an impact on people, and also find people who are willing to help you out. And, you know, one of the biggest revelations I've had is quite simply is virtual assistants. You know, they're, you know, managing your time and, you know, farming out some tasks to someone who is better qualified. You know, are you willing to gain back an hour of your time for a few dollars an hour? Someone, you know, a college kid who probably is happy to do that task and earn a little bit of money and free, you know, you're freeing up your time. And I talk to a lot of people who don't even consider, you know, options. They always want to do things themselves and want to have that employee mindset.
And, you know, there has never been a time ever in the history where we've had more options available to us.
Absolutely. You know, me and you were talking, you know, halfway across the country here, and, you know, there's no excuse for people not to have an impact. And, you know, you don't have to have a huge impact. You just need to make a tiny little dent. And, you know, there's plenty of people out there that you can help. And, you know, there's problems that people out there can solve, and there's people out there who need help solving those problems. And I think, you know, if you can start to unlock that mindset and go shift from employee to, you know, entrepreneur, I think you can, you know, even if you don't quit your full-time job, you can really begin to significantly supplement your income and start to realize your dreams.
Absolutely. I wanted to make a point here about investigating options in that, as I said earlier, these are all related. So part of a way that you can investigate your options is seeking advice from your board of directors or your inner mm-hmm. circle. And also looking back at your past, there may be some things that happened in your past that you can pull forward and reimagine them or reinvent them in a new way to help you have new options moving forward. So all of these things are related, and they're, you know, just great principles for just keeping in mind and referring to when you've got changes or challenges or opportunities in front of you.
Yeah, and I have to say that these are actually really, really straightforward. I don't want to call them simple, but they're very straightforward and very practical. And these are really, really resonating. And I'm definitely gonna implement a lot of what we're talking about here on the show. Me, you know, just personally. And these, this is definitely very interesting and very, like I said, practical.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and I don't mind you saying that they're simple, because they are simple to hear and to understand, but they're not simple to master. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is the thing that is going to be the challenge for your listeners and for me and for you, is that as we're, you know, looking at these shift principles, just really trying to incorporate them into our lives and our thinking. So the F stands for focus on your why or your purpose. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a, you know, a lot been written about, you know, your why and finding your why and all those kinds of things. And I think that's absolutely critical. And one of the things that we really try to talk about and make sure that people don't get caught up in the wheel about is that their why has to be this gigantic, big sort of life-changing thing. And there are lots of great examples of people who do things that have changed the world, and they, you know, find their purpose in doing that. But that's not all of us can do that. But what we can do is we can have a purpose within our sphere. And that could be within your family, your community, your business. And so it's really just trying to focus on focus, really, so that you have, you know, as you're moving forward down this path, you've got something that you can hang on to, that you always know, that you can always come back to if things get a little bit off track or kind of go astray. And the other thing that we really talk about is not only finding your why, but finding your who. And I firmly believe that if you spend your time finding your why and there is no who attached to it, then when you find your why and you achieve what you're trying to achieve, it's going to be sort of a hollow sort of thing for you to have found. It'll be very dissatisfying. There really needs to be somebody or something bigger than yourself that has to be a part of what your purpose is for it to really be satisfying for you.
Yeah, it can be lonely at the top, but it doesn't have to be.
That's exactly right. And I think people, again, they think about their goals or purposes, but if you just need to really think about who that is affecting around you and who you're doing it for beside yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, I really like that as well, because a lot of people can tend to have that shiny object syndrome, swing from vine to vine and never really settle down and have that, that significant impact on, you know, those around them or in the world. So, you know, having that why is definitely, definitely key. I talk about having a vision a lot. So that definitely, you know, resonates well with that.
Well, I appreciate that. And then the last one, the T stands for take ownership. And this is really what you're all about. It's zero excuses. Mm-hmm. So once you have a plan, you know your purpose, you've investigated your options, you kind of looked at your past, you've got a thing going forward, you're seeking advice, even with the board of directors or some sort of inner circle that you've created for yourself. At the end of the day, you have to take ownership. It's you have to own the plans, you have to own the decision, you have to own the progress, you have to own the results. And you can't blame others. You can't make excuses. You can't blame anything on anybody else. You've got to be the person who says, you know, it's me, it's my time, I'm going to do this. There are zero excuses on this.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also the focusing on the things that you can control. And, you know, you touched on this back in your corporate journey. You can't really control like how your boss acts or, you know, the personality that your boss has. And you can only focus on, you know, the things that you can't control, which are your attitudes, the decisions you make, and how you dedicate your time or don't dedicate your time to achieving the results that you get. So,
well, and I'll tell you that this is one of the areas that I really had to work on, just to be honest with you. And it was somebody from my mastermind group that I was in, my sort of board of advisors that I had created for myself, who pointed it out to me, and I didn't even see it in myself. And it was, you know, when are you going to quit making excuses for not doing this? You know, you've been talking about this for, you know, 6 months. And every time I ask you about it, there's always another reason why you're not. So what is it? You know, what is it really behind all of that? Because, you know, there's something going on there that you need to explore. And so this no excuse or zero excuse is absolutely critical. But somebody sometimes has to point it out to you. And, you know, it's kind of a humbling when they do. But it helps you understand that you're right. You know, this is something I've got to do for myself. I can't keep saying that I can't do it because I don't have this or somebody didn't deliver that. It's really up to me to deliver it all and to achieve what I want to achieve.
Cool. So beyond these five shift principles, what are some other key, tactics or strategies or tools that you employ on a day-to-day basis to help, you know, stay focused and, you know, keep you on point with the things that you want to do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, one of the things that I do that I really, this is a sort of more recent thing, so I'm really happy to share it. And I don't know if you've read the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller.
Not yet. It's definitely on my hot list though.
Oh my gosh. It's a great book. In fact, my mastermind group, we're going through this book together. Gary Keller, if your audience isn't familiar with him, he is the owner of Keller Williams Real Estate Company, which I guess is all over the country and maybe parts of the world. And he wrote this book called The One Thing. And basically what it is about is the fact that really to be successful, you really need to focus your attention on the one thing that's going to make the difference. And that could be the one thing that you do daily that leads up to the one thing you know, do monthly to yearly. But most of us try to stay busy being busy. And if you're a business owner, you're busy working in your business and not on your business. And so this book is really great about helping you find this. I'm going to read the title, The Surprisingly Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results. And it's about that focus. I am not a person that focuses very easy. I'm a guy who's got a lot of great ideas and I want to execute them all. So this is a great book that really is teaching me and teaching people in my group that we need to kind of step back from trying to be too busy and thinking we're important because we're so busy, and focusing back on what is the one thing that I need to do and absolutely need to do in order to move forward. And that eliminates all the other clutter, the things that, you know, that you do to stay busy and really are just really a distraction. And what I find for myself, and this is another new learning, is that I would create busyness to distract me from doing the thing that I knew I needed to do. So I had to say was, okay, why am I doing that? Am I afraid to move forward? What's going on there? So it's been a good book for helping me examine a little bit of that. But so every morning, what I'm trying to do is just do that one thing. There may be two or three parts to it, but that one thing every day that I know I need to get accomplished that day. Once I get that accomplished, then I can add other things to the list, but it's helping me focus. So that's sort of a key thing that I'm doing right now that I think is really helping me.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. Well, we're starting to bump up against time, but I definitely want to make sure that our audience knows how to get in touch with you and where they can get a copy of the book and what other resources you might have available out there.
Well, great. Well, I have a deal for you and your listeners. So they can reach me at, they can find us at www.shiftprinciples.com. But for your audience, I have a special landing page that they can go to, and that would be www.shiftprinciples.com/ZX. Z as in zero, X as in excuses. And if they go there, then what I have for them are three things they can take advantage of. One is that I've created an infograph of the shift principles. It's one thing to hear them, but it's nice to have them in front of you so they can download that for free. The second is I have a free copy of my book that I will send to your audience, pay for shipping on that. And then the third is that I'm offering a 30-minute free discovery call. So if anybody wants to discuss these shift principles a little bit more or wants to ask about a mastermind group or wants to tell me a little bit about their business or what's going on in their life and their challenges and how shift principles might help them move forward, then I would be very happy to have that call with them. It would be a delight for me to talk with them. So those are three offers if they go to www.shiftprinciples.com/ZX.
Right on. Well, I'll definitely be checking that out for sure. And appreciate you, sharing all these free resources with us and definitely encourage folks to take advantage of that. John, it's been a pleasure having you on. Do you have any last minute golden nuggets that you want to drop before we sign off here?
Now, the last golden nugget that I would say is we're heading into 2019, and this is a time where people are reflecting on, 2018, where they are in life and where they are in their business and thinking about what 2019 is going to bring for them. And what I would just encourage you to do is to just remember that I don't know where you are. I don't know if you've, been in business for 10 years or 20 years, or you've got your own business or corporate business. I don't know what it is. Life changes. 2019 is going to be completely different than 2018. And the secret for success in life is understanding that life is going to change and you need to understand how to master that change, and be the master of that change.
Yep. You got to be in the driver's seat and don't let life drive you to places you don't want to go.
Absolutely.
Alrighty, John. Well, thanks again for sharing your time with us and we'll be in touch soon.
Excellent. Thank you. And I appreciate being on and best of luck to your audience.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Zero Excuses Podcast. Join the conversation at KenyonZitzka.com in our Facebook group. And don't forget to rate and subscribe to our show. We'll talk to you next week. And always remember, results, not excuses.